Section 2. Huey Long Elected Governor. As you read, look for how Huey Long won the governorship in 1928, Huey Long's accomplishments as governor, controversies that led to an attempt to impeach Governor Long, terms, bond, deduct box, fait accompli, unorthodox, misappropriate. Huey Long had worked tirelessly for 4 years to widen his appeal among the state's voters. He continued to promise vast improvements to the state's undeveloped transportation system. He enhanced his focus on education, promising to provide free school books to the state's children. He also attacked the state's wealthiest people and its most powerful corporations. He promised that his election would give those who were usually ignored a voice in setting the state's priorities. Long also sought to enlarge his vote totals among city dwellers. In New Orleans, this meant promising he would begin paving the city's dirt roads and gravel streets. He also promised to have natural gas piped into the city so the residents could heat their homes for less money. His hard work, many promises, and a message focused on the common people combined to make his second run successful. Huey P. Long was inaugurated governor in May 1928. Long set to work on an ambitious agenda right away. He made good on his promise to distribute free textbooks to the state schools. When officials in Caddo Parish refused to take part in his plan, Long took the case to court. In what would become a regular strategy, the governor also threatened to block legislative approval of other plans parish and city leaders had in mind until they agreed to do what he wanted. Roads. Long also started a scattered program of constructing paved roads across the state. He reasoned that if people all around the state gained access to even small stretches of paved roads, they would see how superior they were and demand that their legislators continue the project. Road construction was particularly popular because much of the immediate cost was paid through selling bonds rather than by raising taxes. A bond is a certificate promising payment of money by a certain date, which is issued by a government or corporation as evidence of debt. Investors who bought the bonds would be paid back with interest when the bonds matured. In the short run, however, people felt like they were getting a lot for not very much money. Governor Long put his friend O.K. Allen in charge of the state's Highway Commission. The body was responsible for the road construction projects. Although progress was rapid, the roads were often inferior, and many of the officials involved in the program profited personally from their insider knowledge and connections. Allen, Long, and others, for example, were involved in a company that sold rocks to the Highway Commission. Their company charged the state more than double what its competitors would have charged for a better quality product. Rural people welcomed the roads, but the corruption that became a normal part of doing business with the state was largely hidden from their view. Patronage. Long's control over appointments to state offices and jobs yielded him a great deal of power with the public. Jobs were hard to find, especially after the nation entered an era of financial depression beginning in 1929. Long had the ability to appoint people to more than 25,000 state jobs. People were desperate for work, so the governor's control of patronage appointments became even more valuable than usual. The deduct box. Perhaps reflecting the knowledge that state workers were beholden to the governor for their jobs, Long initiated a practice that came to be known as giving to the deduct box. In that system, state employees were required to return 10% of their salary to this so-called deduct box. The money was supposed to support Long's political organization. Long, however, routinely mixed deduct funds and campaign contributions with his personal funds. As a result, he had access to vast amounts of cash at a time when there were no laws forcing him to disclose where the money came from or how he spent it. Long and the legislature. In the legislature, Long exercised his power by involving himself in every aspect of the lawmaking process. Whether he was welcome or not, the governor walked the aisles of the legislative chambers, sat in on committee meetings, and personally made sure that legislators voted for laws he wanted passed. If members opposed his plans, Long took away their committee assignments. He then reconfigured the committees with loyal legislators who would always vote his way. He even threatened to take away jobs from the family members of elected officials who refused to follow his orders. The governor was also willing to achieve his goals without legislative approval. One example of this tactic involved the governor's mansion. Everyone agreed that the existing mansion was termite infested and in need of substantial repairs. At the beginning of 1929, Long received a loan of $15,000 from the State Liquidation Board, a board whose membership he controlled. The board made the loan with the understanding that the governor would seek legislative approval for his plans. Impatient as always, the governor had the warden of the state penitentiary send a group of inmates down to Baton Rouge to tear down the old governor's mansion. Within days, the old mansion lay in ruins. Long's critics complained bitterly, but the governor had presented them with a fait accompli, something that had been done and cannot be changed. With no mansion in existence, a new one had to be built. Seeking legislative approval became a mere formality. As his opponents were learning, Huey was a formidable, powerful, strong opponent. However, his unconventional behavior and unorthodox, different from what is usually done or accepted methods, gave his opponents an opportunity to try to remove him from office. During a special legislative session in March 1929, Long's opponents decided to initiate impeachment charges against him. Among other things, state legislators considered charging the governor with misappropriating state funds and attempting to bribe legislators to assure their votes. To misappropriate is to take something dishonestly, for one's own use. The next few days were raucous, boisterous, disorderly ones in Baton Rouge. Widespread fist fighting broke out on the floor of the State House of Representatives on the last Monday in March, a day that came to be known as Bloody Monday. If the State House of Representatives approved charges, the State Senate would decide on the governor's guilt or innocence. 2/3 of the Senate's 39 members would have to proclaim his guilt. Huey and his supporters worked behind the scenes on a strategy that has come to be known as the legislative round robin. In essence, Long convinced 15 senators to sign a declaration that they would never cast a guilty vote, no matter what evidence was presented. The tactic was unorthodox, but not surprising. By receiving these promises from more than 1/3 of the state senators, Long short-circuited the impeachment process. Afterwards, many of the round-robin signers received plum, desirable governmental or judicial appointments. Long had saved himself and handed his opponents one more in a series of political defeats. After the impeachment attempt failed, Long was even more powerful. He was ready for the next step in his plan. Special feature, Long and LSU. Throughout his terms as governor and senator, Huey Long had great enthusiasm for Louisiana State University, going so far as to co-write two football fight songs with his hand-picked band director, Castro Carrizo. Long also improved some of the university's facilities and programs, but always in ways that reflected his interests and priorities. Long supported the construction of a new student center building, which came to be known as the Huey P. Long Fieldhouse. He also saw to it that the football team and band received significant support. As with anything Long cared about, he could not keep himself from meddling in the details. He openly interfered with referees at LSU home games and forced railroad lines to offer special rates to LSU students so they could travel to away games. He even handed out cash to students so they had spending money during their trips. Long could be generous to those he supported, but incredibly harsh with those who challenged him. In 1934, LSU student newspaper The Daily Reveille published an editorial critical of one of Long's recent political appointments. Long ordered most copies of the issue confiscated and destroyed. He also demanded an apology from the students who were involved. Because state government provided so many of the students at the university with financial support, Long felt he had every right to demand loyalty from them. The university's president owed his job to Long. When a group of students went to him for advice, the president advised the students that they were living under dictatorship and the best thing to do is to submit to those in authority. At Long's insistence, 7 students were expelled. What do you think about the advice the president of the university gave to the students who visited him?